ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and pets or whatever. Yeah. A little bit of a dull intro there. Welcome to our, I believe, our fourth episode.
And, yes.
I'm not totally counting wrong there.
Numero cuatro.
Yes, number four of the Black Eagles podcast. But Sinan and I, Sinan, of course, joining me again live from New York City, New York.
Hello.
So Sinan joining me. We're going to talk a little bit about what's in the news right now concerning Beşiktaş. Maybe talk a little bit about transfers, talk a little bit about anything concerning Beşiktaş, basically. So Sinan, why don't you take it away?
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Numero cuatro, I'll say again in Spanish. We have a Mexican Beşiktaş fan actually out there who's reached out on Twitter. So shout out to you. Getting in the spirit of
talking about Frank Jimenez?
No, oh Frank, yeah, exactly, yeah, exactly, okay,
yeah. He's been following for quite a while, yeah.
Our man Frank in Mexico. Yeah, shouts out to him and all the others out there in the Twitterverse that are communicating with us. Yeah, and another reason to speak Spanish is, you know, getting in the spirit of international, you know, football again, the World Cup coming up. But yeah, let's get back to it. So Beşiktaş, we have a lot to talk about, actually. But to begin, let's dig right into some of the transfer stuff. I'll cue in my little transfer music here, right? But where shall we begin? There are some sort of,
you know,
not so much.
Let's. I want to get this off my chest. Let's start with the whole Ferdi Cariolo exclusive we had, and
okay, yeah,
freaking people are just, you know, blatantly stealing it and not even giving credit and stuff like that.
Yes, there's a rash of this in the football journalism world.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know that episode of Family Guy where Peter Griffin's all like, where he has this little segment on the news, which everything that grinds his gear.
Yeah. You know what grinds my gears?
People stealing your work and not giving credit. So basically, I think it was yesterday, we had an exclusive and we reported that Baki Mercimek, of course, former player of Beşiktaş, and he's currently an agent. He's not Ferdi Cariolo's agent, for the record, but he is an agent. And just like Ahmet Bulut is an agent, and Ahmet Bulut has negotiated on behest of Beşiktaş for many transfers in the past few years. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that he is that because he is doing that he is the player's agent. We never claimed that Baki Mercimek is Ferdi Cariolo's agent. In fact, I believe Ferdi's agent is called Wasserman or something. Right. At least that's the website of the agency. I'm not 100% sure. I think it's wasserman.com or something.
But, I mean, yeah, who knows how updated those things are. But that sounds legit.
But anyway, so what we reported was that Baki Mercimek is negotiating on behest of Beşiktaş to try to convince Ferdi Cariolo to come to Istanbul and join the Black Eagles.
Yeah.
Ferdi, of course, over the past 2 years has made a little bit of headlines, mainly last season when he made his debut in the Eredivisie at just 17 years of age.
NEC Nijmegen. This is where my horrible pronunciation is going to be on full display. You say it. How do you pronounce it?
Nijmegen.
Man, was I off.
Okay, so yeah, he plays for Nijmegen, Nick, or NEC, as you say.
Right.
it's Americanism. It's fine. You know, some people say Nick, some people say NEC, so it's fine. It's an abbreviation, really, so technically it should be NEC, but, you know, some people say Nick.
I feel like it's the American or the U.S. in me, right? Like the FBI, CIA, you know, we have all these three-letter abbreviations, you know?
Correct, man. That's correct. That's the way you have to pronounce it, really. But
NBA.
He plays for NEC, as we said. They were in the second division, in the second Dutch, the second tier of Dutch football this past season, and they made it to the playoffs. I believe they ended in third position after relegating last season, and I think their hopes were really on promotion this season, but they lost out in the promotional playoffs. Ferdy played, I believe, 39 official games for NEC this season. He played 51 official games in total. That includes games for Holland under 19, the Netherlands, of course. And in those games, I believe 51 games, he had 13 goals, I want to say, and or no, 12 or 13 goals and 20 assists or something like that.
Okay. So he was. And he's a kind of classic number 10 attacking midfielder, is that correct?
Yeah, he has a bit of flair about him as well. But I mean, 51 games and involved in 32 goals, even if, though it's at youth level and at the second tier of Dutch football, that's still quite impressive for an 18-year-old.
20 assists in particular, because that's assists are things that you know the level of quality of in terms of who he'll be distributing to is only going to be higher, right? So like that's a good number. 20.
The thing though, I mean, well, let's just stick to if we end up getting it, we can always just go more in depth on how we see him fit in, slot into the team and all that stuff and into the future. But a few interesting tidbits. If we were to sign him this summer, so this is kind of the last opportunity for us to sign him this summer, and if we do, he would count as a club product in 3 years. So in the third season, when that will be the season in 2020-2021, he turned 21 years old.
And for reference to maybe those slightly less than the now, that's rather important for like European competition where you have to register a certain amount of players who are sort of raised by the club, raised in the country, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So, on your UEFA list, you get 25 spots on your UEFA list. 8 of those players have to be homegrown, which means trained in the country, so must be trained in Turkey. And 4 of those 8 need to be club trained.
That's right.
So if we were to sign Ferdy now, he would count as both a homegrown and a club-trained player. So
which is of great value. Let's not forget, we had to basically bring Atin Çınukan all the way back in that kind of inconvenient scenario basically just to satisfy that need.
But this is interesting in that regard. Plus, adding on top of that, Ferdy is very highly regarded. He had a little bit of a, you know, for many people, next season was disappointing, and many consider Ferdy's season to be disappointing. But if you look purely at the statistics, he had a pretty impressive season. So if people were disappointed at him, imagine what he could do if he had a good season. Because, I mean, I've watched interviews and stuff like that with him, and he did struggle a lot at the start of the season. He admitted that himself. I think that talks of a transfer kind of distracted him, got into his head. I mean, you have to keep in mind that at the beginning of the season, he was just 17 years old still. He only just turned 18 in October. So, you know, I mean, he's going to turn 19 this coming October, but he's still very, very young. And if I'm not mistaken, Ferdy, his dad, Feyzullah, is Turkish, of course, from the Trabzon region in Turkey. But his mom's Dutch Canadian, so you know, he's not even a full blood Turk.
So what's interesting is again, my reference here, he's appeared for the Dutch under 16 and under 17 sides, which in theory, like, making that is slightly more impressive perhaps than the Turkish one.
Keep in mind, I mean, Ozan Özyakup was the captain of the Dutch under 19 team. But anyway, so our
a funny side note there too is that guys like Larin and Hutchinson could maybe recruit him to the Canadian national side. not so likely, but
unlikely, but yeah, maybe. Funny. But to go for Slocker on this one, to put a bow around it, basically our news was that Baki was negotiating on behest of Beşiktaş to bring him to the club. And that's basically all of the news really that we had at the time being.
There's not really any. There's increasing talk about Gerson from Roma. Brazilian.
I guess so.
He hasn't quite settled in there. But, you know.
He was playing ahead of Genghis at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, Genghis displaced him, right? Which is...
Yeah.
But so, do you have any thoughts on him? How realistic is that speculation, do you think? There's talk of like a loan with an option to buy, right?
I don't know, man. I mean, I think for the time being, as long as we still have Pablo Quaresma, Gökhan Töre, and Jermaine Lenz on the books, and Orkan Çınar, who's still coming back from loan as five right. wingers, I think that at least one of those will have to go. Right. There's talks that there might be an offer from a Super League club for Jermaine Lenz and a Premier League club, so he might be leaving.
Which we both kind of agreed we don't necessarily approve of. Is that right? Would you agree with that?
I think that...
For the right price, anyone, right? But
yeah, for sure. I mean, if you can get a decent price back for him. I mean, we just spent more than $5 million on him, $5.5 million, if I'm not mistaken. So just to already sell him for less than that, that would be kind of a waste. I think that the Super League offer is probably a loan. But, you know, a player that's going to be 31 this season, it just kind of feels silly to loan him out. I mean... What's the goal there? I mean, that he regains his form and maybe then comes back next season and does better. I don't know. I mean, I think a 30-plus-year-old player, ideally, if you're going to offload him, it should be a permanent transfer. I mean, a Turkish club isn't going to be able to offer us what we want for him anyway.
Yeah, in theory. Unless it's like Fener again, you know? Which would be interesting.
With Ali Koç now, I think the relationship between the two clubs could definitely...
Significantly improved anyway.
Yeah, for sure. I think definitely there could be talks between the clubs about a transfer. Because, you know, I think nowadays, if you look at it, you can't imagine a player from Beşiktaş going to Fenerbahçe without them being out of contract, like an actual transfer between the two clubs and vice versa. I don't think anyone can imagine that since, I don't know, the last 15 years or more maybe. I don't think anyone can imagine these two clubs negotiating and working together to conduct a transfer. But back in the day, I mean, that wasn't completely out of the ordinary to do.
Gerson was one discussion you're thinking maybe not so realistic. Bernard was another one who seems like he'd be way out of our price range.
Well, let's cap on the Gerson thing first. I don't think it's unrealistic necessarily. It's just the fact that I don't see us getting a winger before we get rid of one or two of our current wingers. I think that's going to be, I mean, also with them trying to balance the books a little bit, trying to reduce the wage costs because we didn't qualify for the Champions League, I don't think they're going to bring on an extra additional.
Are you sure Gerson's not a number 10? I've seen him listed as an attacking midfielder. I think that was his role with the under 20 side on Brazil or something like that.
Many players can play multiple positions, you know?
Sure, yeah, because he's not so established, right? I mean, what about as a sort of number 10 option, you know, rivaling Ferdi, right, as clearly one option?
I don't know, possibly. But the thing with Ferdi is, I mean, I don't want to go into it too much, but I don't think that if we would bring him in that he would be instantly, that he would be... immediately seen as a first team player. I think that that ideally for him and for us as well, I think that if we buy him, the best scenario would be to immediately loan him back out to an Eredivisie team.
Interesting.
And let him have at least one season, full season in the Eredivisie, developing, honing his craft more. You know, he's still so young. I think that if you throw him in front of the Lions right now, yeah, it could work out really good, and he could do amazing. But young players, they usually have a backlash as well on their form. You know, I mean, if you get them doing well a couple of months, they can have a real big dip. And that's absolutely out of the ordinary. But that's dangerous in Turkey because people are so quick to write people off.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, how would you feel about him being loaned to a Turkish side on that note? Maybe not so good.
No. We saw what happened to Orkan this year. You loan out a player and they don't play him.
Yeah.
No, that's
almost as like a grudge thing. It's annoying.
Unless you have guarantees.
Yeah. And what's annoying about the Orkan thing was he actually performed, or he scored against Konya. Yeah. Against
they
Trabzon.
They were in a really tight position, of course. So, I mean, they're obviously going to go for experience over talent. But, you know, when they got Volkan Şen'in, but I mean, regardless, I mean, almost always when Beşiktaş loan out a player to a fellow Super League team, they don't really utilize them properly. So, I mean, yeah. I much rather have him loaned out to a team like, you know, Twente relegated now. But let's, for example, say Twente, where we also saw Enes Unal shine.
Right.
You know, a team like that that's going to use him, that's going to play him, that's going to help develop him further. You know, and as far as I'm concerned, that team wouldn't even have to pay his wages. They wouldn't even have to pay a loan fee as long as they play him.
For sure, yeah. You know? That's the main
but
thing.
But that's the thing with a guy like Ferdi. I mean, I'm not saying that he doesn't have the ability to play for Beşiktaş. He's clearly extremely talented. But I just think that for a young guy like that, it's better to get get one or two more seasons under his belt and grow and not have to deal with the immense pressure of playing for one of the Istanbul big three straight away.
Because and maybe as a counter, you have a guy like Kerim Fry, right, who maybe got thrown to the lions a little too fast.
I don't think Kerim was ever at the level of talents that Ferdi is at.
Oh, really? Okay.
Football intelligence-wise.
That was his thing, right? He never really matured in that sense. And one wonders if...
Mature, in my opinion. I think
you
have that or you don't. It's like, you know, you have a high IQ or you don't. Same thing with a football IQ. You have it or you don't. I mean, if you prefer to run, you pick up the ball and you run at your opponent, and that's the same thing you do every game. Or you read the game and you give a splitting pass and you give a lofted pass, you take a shot, you have variety in your play and you're constantly one step ahead of your opponent. That's something you can't teach.
Well, one thing I would say in that regard is that, like, I remember playing as a youth, granted here in the U.S. with horrible training, like no coaches with no knowledge of the sport tactically whatsoever, but kind of feeling like a chicken with my head cut off. And that, like, as an adult, I'll go to the park sometimes or kick a ball around or play in, like, a pickup game. And I feel like, oh, if only I was young and I could run. Like, my understanding of the game is so, you know, like, now I know how to, like, hold the ball up and look, you know, my crossing. Like, a lot of that, you know, can be, I think, developed. Or, you know, the intelligence itself is there or not, but then it's a matter of, like, does that person have... I suppose it's harder for someone outside of the U.S. to not have that kind of training, probably.
That's stuff you can train. You can train someone to defend. You can train someone to use his body in the right way. Of course, there's people who's going to come more natural to than others. And the people who's going to come more natural to are the people that...
That rise, right?
A higher level.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's certain things you can't teach.
Yeah.
Just like you can't teach someone to draw really well. You have to have that talent in you. You can hone it, you can improve it. You can go to the drawing academy and you can improve on your skills.
Well, this is a deep comment. I don't know if I want to go into this terrain because now we're talking about nature and nurture and all that. Let's not go there. Because, you know, we could talk about that all day, but...
But anyway, my point is that I think that pure football IQ-wise, a guy like Ferdi has so much potential, but I think that it's just much better to... and he is only 18 years old. I mean, he doesn't have to immediately be the star for Beşiktaş if we get him, you know? I mean, the thing is with him, if Ajax pick him up tomorrow because they're settling Hakim Ziyech, And you know, in 2-3 years, he could be worth 40-50 million, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And we'd much rather, like, we need to be the ones cashing in on the Talishkas from now on, you know? Like, we can't be.
But that's, you know, I mean, I think for a guy like a kid like Faraday, that's what, you know, what you were saying, if we would get someone like Gerson, you know, and would he compete with Faraday? I think ideally Faraday, you buy him and you loan him straight away back out.
Interesting. Okay.
And that's not because I don't have faith in his ability. That's because I want him to reach his potential. And I think he's going to reach his potential a lot quicker if he plays in a league that accommodates him better. I think the pressure in Turkey is way too high. I'm not saying he wouldn't be able to handle it. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know the kid personally. So there's no way for me to tell whether he could or could not handle that pressure. But the pressure in Turkey is immense. There is no patience for young players. In Holland, you have patience. Young players should be allowed to make mistakes. In Holland, they're allowed to make mistakes. In Turkey, if you make one mistake, that can cost you your
media is like all over you. Yeah,
not just the media, the coaches too. I mean, how often have we seen Şenol Güneş be quite unforgiving for a player, especially new players?
Yeah, like Lens, right? Like Lens, honestly.
Like Lens, yeah. But there's been different examples too. Boyko, for example, too.
Poor Boyko. That guy got like one bad game. I mean, no.
Alexis Delgado, another example. I mean, of course, these are all players that are far older and naturally. A great coach like Şenol Güneş is going to have more patience with a young player than he is going to have with a 30-year-old player. That's normal.
Yeah.
I mean, but still. Delgado,
yeah.
Mean,
he was another guy who really didn't. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I mean, and it's funny that Medel was sort of allowed to shine, maybe via his reputation, and like he kind of got through and ended up being quite a contributor. So
I think Medel from the get-go, I mean, yeah. He had that quote-unquote mistake against Fenerbahce.
Yeah,
I think that everyone knew that was an extremely harsh decision anyway.
Yeah, exactly. His reputation was set that, like, we all know his pedigree, I guess, right?
When he played, he was excellent, you know? I mean, he might have made mistakes here and there, but he was always excellent. That his intensity alone added something to the team. But
Is he playing for the national team? Is he not in the World Cup? Is Chile not in the
Chile didn't qualify. Yes, he is on the national team. I think he has like 100 caps or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy.
What a strange World Cup. No Chile either, huh?
There's a lot of great countries that aren't at the World Cup, and then there's a lot of countries that, you know,
you wonder about.
Probably shouldn't be there.
Starting with Russia, by the way. we'll save that for the discussion on the national team players later. But let's move on.
Okay.
So that's Gerson. We've kind of covered maybe an option at the attacking mid. What about Bernard? You've kind of shut that down. I believe.
Too expensive, in my opinion. Way too expensive. I mean, he's going to want. And, you know, I think there was an article on this today. I'm not sure if it was Takvim or Milliyet or whatever. And usually, you know, Takvim, I think it was Takvim. And Takvim isn't super reliable at all. But, I mean, I think it's completely realistic what they were writing, that he wants 6 million annually and that it would include his signing bonus. So let's say he wants 2.5 annually and like 5 million signing bonus or whatever.
I mean, he plays for the same squad as Fred did, right? Manchester United's big purchase.
Shakhtar Donetsk, yeah.
So it seems like, and Benfica just purchased Facundo Ferreira from them as well. Like it seems like there's a glut, but there's a glut on these players, you know. That's like a popular side to these sniping
guys. Shakhtar over the past, really since 2004, I think they have really been an emerging.
Yeah.
Power in the Eastern Europe, and they had an amazing scouting network in Brazil. They got a lot of fantastic players from Brazil over the last decade plus. Yeah. However, you know, with the instability, the political instability in the Ukraine over the past couple of years, there have been issues there, and Brazilian players, players in general, don't really want to go there as much anymore. So that Brazilian contingent that they had and still kind of have is slowly fading away.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
What?
Especially,
sorry?
I would imagine so. Especially, yeah. I think Donetsk is in a pretty troubled region as well, right?
Yes, yes. They were in the middle of the war zone, so to speak. They had to play in a different stadium for more than a year. So it was pretty intense there. So a lot of those players wanted to leave. But for like 10 plus years there, Donetsk really was a great destination for those young Brazilians. Yeah. Bernard, actually, their, as far as I know, their record transfer fee, they paid $25 million for him like 4 or 5 years ago, back when $25 million was a lot of money. I mean, that really has changed in the last 2 years. But $25 million back then was an insane fee, especially for a club not from the top five leagues in Europe. So
right,
he was a big signing back then. He was a really highly rated talent back then. I'm not going to put him on the level of Neymar and Robinho, but he was like a level below that, perhaps like one of those next big things from Brazil. Not like Neymar, Robinho, not like that, but kind of pretty big deal still. But he didn't really pan out for him in the beginning at Donetsk, but he gradually got into it a little bit and got better. And you know, he is a very highly rated player now. And I think, you know, he knows that and he's going to want to, you know, these kind of players, when they enter a contract with a club, they don't just let their contracts expire for nothing. They know when they let their contracts expire,
what they're gonna get,
a club is going to give them an absorbent amount of a signing bonus. I mean, if you remember Diego Ribas, who signed for Fenerbahce a couple of years ago, we were actually negotiating and in talks with him, and we had an agreement with him. But then last moment, Fenerbahce came in, and they offered him 5 million euros as a signing fee, and he just couldn't say no to that, and he ended up signing with them.
God.
So, you know,
classic tactics.
But that's the type of money that Bernard's probably looking for. You know,
actually, that's a perfect
signing bonus.
Perfect segue. Yeah. Sorry, I'm glad you wrapped that bet. 5 or 6 million there, signing bonus, my lord. But that actually might be a perfect segue to our other attacking midfielder, number 10 option. And speaking of Istanbul clubs creeping into negotiations and maybe swiping players, then there's Emre Akbaba. And the latest is that Fatih Terim is snaking his way into proceedings. What are your thoughts on that?
If they want to pay a lot of money, let them have them.
Yeah, right. Like,
I mean, if they want to pay 5 million euros or something, and they're going to this news hasn't broken yet, but it will break soon, I'm sure. They're going to back under a financial fair play settlement for 4 years, and there might be a fine in there as well that will be deducted of their Champions League winnings. So it's not something that they actually have to pay, but it will be deducted from their prize money. So I think Galatasaray are going to be very timid on the transfer market this season. I don't expect anything big from them unless they sell someone for a big fee first. And, you know, they might. But that, even if they do, like, let's say they sell Gary Rodriguez for $15 million or something, they are going to want to use that $15 million then for 3-4 players probably. So don't expect anything big from Galatasaray on the transfer market this season, next season, or the season after that, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
They kind of made their bed this past year by spending more than 40 million euros in the summer.
Well, allow me to pull out the tiniest violin I can find and play a little tune for them. I do not feel bad for Galatasaray.
What they were doing, they knew that. I mean, they had previously exited the financial fair play settlement because they couldn't meet the requirements, got banned from Europe because they exited prematurely without meeting the requirements, and then the very next summer spent almost 50 million euros on transfers. That's just asking for a ban. But I mean,
it's almost a tradition, honestly. Financial mismanagement,
yeah, but not our problem anyway. But I mean, if they want to pay a huge chunk of what they're going to have to spend this season in the summer for Emre Akbaba, by all means, go ahead. You know, I mean, like I said last time, fine player for an Anatolian team. I think he's a great, great, great player for an Anatolian team. I think jury is still very much out on whether he has it in him to play for a big team. And I you know, if we get him, I sincerely hope that he proves me wrong and shows that he is a big team player. And I'm by no means saying that he's not.
And I'll talk more about him in my review of the national team.
I've seen so many guys like this who were amazing in an Anatolian team And then they go to one of the big three, and they just don't, you know, they just, it's very difficult to replicate your performance regardless, you know.
Sure,
pressure is
sure.
bigger. Teams you're playing are playing differently against you, more compact, more defensive. It's, you get less space, you get less opportunities, they give you less time to breathe on the ball. I mean, it's all very different. Plus, there's a pressure and all that stuff. It's a lots of different factors that come into play. So for me, overpaying on someone like that,
who's
almost turning 26 years old. I mean, it's not like he's a spring chicken.
I
don't want us paying 4 or 5 million euros for that kid. If we, you know, I mean, if we can get him for 2-3, even that is in my book a little bit much, but that's what you're gonna have to pay. That's simply the, you know, they're not going to let him go for less.
He's their main attraction at this point, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, he's their star player. He's their best performer last season. You see what they did with Wagner Love. I mean, they got a really good price out of him as well, even despite his age. But there was a rumor today, though, that we offered them 2 million plus Wagner Love, and they responded with, we want 3.5 plus Wagner Love. Don't know how credible that is. Interesting rumor, though. But like I said, well, you know, you're offloading a wage then with Wagner Love, I guess. But
And freeing up some room for whoever we bring in as a striker. And ultimately not spending that much on a number 10.
Yeah, but I think you can get 2 million for Wagner Love if you want to sell him, so I think you're paying 5.5 then.
That's true.
But whatever.
So then what are your thoughts? So we've covered Gerson, Bernard,
like I said,
Emre Atfaba, and Ferdi.
If Galatasaray are desperate to get him and they want to pay a lot for him more than we do, then by all means get him. I mean, it's not a player I desperately want.
So who? Do you have a wild card? You know, what do you think if those four, among those four, we don't quite have a definitive number 10.
What do you mean? I mean, I would prefer Ferdi for me, because he has so much potential for the future, would be the most interesting transfer, and that would be the one I would be most happy about. I mean, short term, I mean, Bernard's only like 26 too, but I mean, short term, I think definitely he'd be a great signing, but he would just be so expensive, and I just can't see it happen right now. And to be honest, I mean, I think most likely, I think Emre Agbaba is probably the most likely signing at this point. But like I said in our first episode, I think I don't want him to be our marquee signing for that position.
You did say, you know, that.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, I hope that the player we ultimately end up getting for the 10 position right now, that we don't know, that we haven't heard that name yet. That's my hope.
So hypothesize. Throw something up, like, speak it into existence, you know, like what if you were the general manager, what do you have any idea?
Who would I get? If I was the general manager,
who would you be looking at?
What's my budget?
Well, what let's say, like, it really, let's try to be realistic. Like, I say max, we could probably spend, if it's a really good player and we can kind of shuffle some salaries around, maybe 10 million. Is that realistic, would you say?
That's difficult, man. If you give me like 20, which is completely unrealistic for Bishtish, but then I'd definitely say Thorgan Hazard from Mönchengladbach. That would be would be someone I'd totally interested in. That's Eden Hazard's younger brother. I mean, I think Leandro Trossard from Racing Genk is about to make a move to Italy. He's an interesting player. I mean, I'd have to research it properly.
Sure. Maybe we'll save that for another episode.
if you give me a 10 million budget for a number 10, I'd try to spend, I don't know how much, 3-4 million and buy Ferdi for the future, and then I'd use the remaining budget to buy someone else, I guess.
Yes, yeah. Either Bernard, if you could get him down to the rest of that, or I guess Emre Akbaba, right? I mean, realistically, given our options.
It's kind of depressing if that's our best option. I don't totally want to rip on the kid. I mean, but if Emre is our best option for that position, it's kind of depressing, really.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not. I'll temper that with the disclaimer being that being his price tag, it wouldn't be so much that could theoretically That would mean that we could go for a big time striker. Maybe like a if we got Mandzukic because we spent less and got Emre Akpaba, then I would like, you know, it'd be a different conversation. Or maybe not Mandzukic, but you know, someone maybe. Of that.
Yeah,
capacity.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, maybe. I mean, I would, to be honest, I think that, you know, getting a good striker is not easy, but I think long term, if you get a really good number 10 that can go for years to come, that's going to give you more joy than getting a really good striker. I think a really good 10 is just, you know, it gets you more. Sure. Let's move on because you haven't talked about this one yet. Davy Klaassen.
I mean,
totally forgot about this one. I mean,
big one.
Sky Sports reported that Beşiktaş are looking at an initial loan with option to buy, perhaps, for the Dutch international. He's, I believe, 25 years old. Played for Ajax for many years. Joined Everton last season. Was one of Ronald Koeman's first signings, main signings. Didn't really do really well. I mean, didn't do well at all, actually. Kind of bombed there. I know a few people that would be excited about that, and I know other people that wouldn't be excited about it. I mean, I don't know if you know him very well.
I'm not particularly familiar. Via reputation, because by the time I started watching Everton, which was sort of the Cenk era, he was already basically out of the rotation. So
yeah. The thing with, you know, what I wanted, I think I said it like in the previous episodes as well, I want a really creative player. I don't want another Talisca. I want someone who's creative. I want someone who creates chances. I think the first and foremost thing a player in that position needs to do is create, not score. I think there's other people in the pitch that can score goals. It should be scoring goals at least. I mean, right now with Negredo, is maybe the wrong choice of words. But, you know, I mean, initially speaking, I would prefer a creating number 10 rather than a scoring. And the thing with Klaassen is he's more of a goal scorer too. A little bit of a different type. I mean, he's someone that makes really good runs. He doesn't pop up like Talisca does with great headers. I think Klaassen is more someone you send deep rather than someone you cross the ball into and hope he heads it home. But he's very similar in that regard. He's a much harder worker. He's known for that. I mean, can maybe kind of liken him to Dirk Kuyt in that regard, in terms of work rate and stuff like that. I mean, he's an Ajax youth product. So obviously, technically, he's going to be pretty sound, but he's not a Wesley Sneijder type. He's not a Ferdi Gagliolo type. You know, he's not that sophisticated in terms of technique. So he's really kind of in many ways kind of more technically, at least maybe more limited, hardworking, knows how to score goals and stuff like that. But for me, not really the kind of player that I want in that position. I mean, if he'd come, you know, have no problem with it. I think that could free up, for example, if Ozan stays, I think that could alleviate quite a bit of the workload that Ozan would get. And I think that would
He could focus on his creative ability, maybe. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I think that back when Sosa still played for us, I mean, we had that kind of dynamic where Sosa did work a lot as well, and that gave Ozan more chance to create a little bit. I think that could maybe return a little bit there, but Sosa was more creative, in my opinion, than Klaassen is. But then, I mean, Klaassen did come out and say that he wants another shot and that he thinks that he made the right choice going to Everton and that he wants a chance to prove himself again and that he believes that he'll do that next season. So it doesn't look like Klaassen is very keen on moving away. Okay. Our interest might be true, but his interest might not be.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Well, all right. So that's our number 10 situation right now, I guess. And there are lots of options on the table. I guess if I'm going to be honest, the most exciting one on the table there for me, Ferdi sounds like a nice option, but again, maybe as a sort of prospect, a future type thing. But so maybe Gerson is someone who I think, you know, he seems like the type of young sort of guy Brazilian that, you know, it's like a hitter. It would be very hit or miss, I would imagine, because, you know, for him to have not settled in Roma, you know, you're not going with a proven, yeah, you know, and proven product. But at just 21, you know, having featured for Brazil's under 20 side, you know, there's some intrigue there for sure. Mm-hmm. And again, the price tag is the main issue, you know.
The thing with that is, I mean, if we're going to go for an unproven player that's young, I don't want another Talisca situation where you loan him and then with an option to buy, but an option that's really not realistic. I mean,
right.
Us paying 21 million euros for a player, that's such a long shot. I mean, our record for incoming transfer is still 8 million. And for us to immediately more than double that amount for Talisca. And of course, there was that can we sell him on thing now? But still, 21 million, even if we had qualified for the Champions League, that would have been such a stretch. And I think a guy like Gerson, I don't know what AS Roma paid for him. I could quickly look it up, but I mean,
they'd probably want to recoup something, is what you're saying, though, for sure.
I mean, for sure, they would, and then, you know, I'm sure that the option would be in that the general area of what they paid for him. So I'm just quickly going to look up what it is that they paid for him. But
I think it was like 20 million. I forget.
20 million, and then they're going to want to recuperate that. They'll probably charge an arm and a leg for a loan fee to begin with. And then they'll probably, you know, let me just take a quick look here. They paid 16 million euros for him.
Yeah.
So let's say they charge 2.5 for a loan fee and then the 15 million buyout clause or something to break even. I mean, that's the 15 million euros is a lot of money.
And Transfermarkt has devalued him to like about a 9 million value. So, you know, if we could,
but that's, Transfermarkt is not reliable.
Of course, yeah, and that's just like their own subjective view. But I just mean like if we could get it down to like a 2.5 fee with like a 5 million buyout, that's getting closer to something I'd be sort of intrigued by.
Oh, 5 million, I mean for sure, but that's Roma would never go for that. I don't think
exactly. It depends it would really depend on how much they've soured on him, you know, and if I don't know how he's been received in Italy, that's something, you know, if it were more serious, we could probably sort of seek someone's opinion on. But
plus, I mean, he has played mainly as a right winger, to my knowledge, for them. So, again, like I said, I can't see that happen until someone leaves. So I don't think we even should be looking at him as a number 10 transfer right now, because I mean, you know, back in the day, said that Kurtulus played as a right back for Bursaspor, and then the second time we brought him in as a right back because he was playing as a right back for Antep at the time as well. But, you know, when we got him, he played as a central defensive midfielder. Mm-hmm. And he didn't even get a look as a right back at the time. So I think, you know, I don't think they're going to look at a player that played the last season at Roma
in a different position.
For a different position which he didn't play in, even though he might have played in that position for the youth team or whatever. So no, I mean I don't know. I don't think we've heard the name yet that we will eventually end up getting, unless it's Emre Agbaba maybe. But I think if we do end up getting Emre Agbaba, I think we might get another one.
Yeah, and Agbaba is more of a depth move. All right, let's move on to... I don't think that there's much more news on the transfer wire of late.
Well, we had the Michael Lang news today for FC Basel right back.
Right. I didn't know. How was the source on that? Was that a good one?
Was NTV, which, you know, in my opinion, many people say it's a good sort, it's reliable, but in my opinion, it's pretty hit and miss. Mm-hmm. They can be really on top of something and have it right from the get go, but they also just throw stuff out there sometimes.
For sure.
I think apparently Lang did turn down a few moves to the Premier League, for smaller clubs in the Premier League. Basel, he only has a year left on his contract with Basel. They want to extend. They want to make him into an important player, a more important player than he already is. He's a right back. He played 44 games last season for Basel, scored 10 goals.
And I was going to say, he has a pretty impressive scoring record for a defender. Yeah.
I mean, 1 year left in this contract, so naturally you'd think, oh, not too expensive. But I mean, the guy's 27 years old, going to the World Cup. Really, you know, highly thought of for Basel. I don't think it's a realistic target. You know, and like, Beşiktaş are cutting back on wages, so they're not going to be able to offer him an extravagant amount of money to tempt him, to lure him to Turkey. So I don't think that's a very realistic option at this point. Of course, I don't think we addressed it last time. Daniel Opare, we might have talked about Opare.
We did. We talked about Opare, but not the latest.
Yeah. So the recent development in that is that Beşiktaş have actually agreed personal terms with Daniel Opare, but they are holding off on actually making it official because they want to see. It's kind of the scenario. I think the scenario
that we hoped for, actually. Yeah.
Where he'd be kind of the last resort, and that we'd, at the end of a transfer window, maybe if we couldn't get someone else. So that's apparently Beşiktaş are listening to our podcast and
panning out, yeah,
taking our advice.
We're speaking. That's what I'm saying. We got to speak things into existence. We got to start doing some scouting. You know, maybe
sign Ferdi Kadıoğlu and loan him out to Vitesse or something.
There you go. You heard it from the source.
Okay, so that's pretty much it for the right back, I think. Is there any major other thing that we... I mean, striker-wise, we haven't really heard anything incoming yet.
Nothing. Which could be good news. You know, maybe there's already something in the works that they don't want to spill the beans.
They want to get rid of Negredo and Love first. Yeah, latest developments on those guys. Negredo, the clubs that have come knocking for him. Negredo is not super keen on that, apparently. As for Wagner Love, he has a personal agreement with, I believe, Fluminense or with Fluminense.
Palmeiras or Flamengo?
Fluminense or Palmeiras. I'm not sure, actually. but apparently, Beşiktaş haven't been able to reach an agreement in terms of transfer fee for him. Yeah. So they've kind of backed off on him for the time being. So both Wagner Love and Negredo, as it currently stands, staying for the time being. I mean, they definitely want to offload at least one of them, and preferably two, probably.
Could lend credence to the theory that he's going to be packaged for Emre Akbaba. But again, that's also
another theory. Thing with. With Dembaba, apparently he agreed. I mean, we did speak about this. The Chinese clubs were interested in him, but so apparently he did. I'm not sure, actually. I haven't really looked into it properly, but there's talk again that he has agreed with a Chinese club, and he might be going back to China, so he might not be coming to Beşiktaş. I mean, that really has kind of cooled down. Burak Yılmaz, still kind of the same situation as it was before. Beşiktaş don't really want to pay any transfer fee for him. Supposedly they have a principal agreement with him, but I don't know. I mean, he's making $3.5 million at Trabzon.
Yeah, why would he turn that down to make?
I just have a hard time imagining us willing to match that wage. So really on the striker position, no real big difference in changes. So I think that transfer wise, we pretty much covered it all.
Basically. Do you want to maybe, let's talk about some of the potential outgoing guys / guys who are trying to re-sign. So we've got Atiba and Ozan who were trying to re-sign, essentially, and extend.
A thing that we've re-signed with them months ago. God.
So we'll talk about that. Because we haven't done that on the podcast. We haven't discussed that. You haven't said that so confidently to everyone, just to me. And then also the Quaresma little bit about what he said about where he doesn't want to go definitively. So first, let's talk about those guys in the center of our midfield. What do you got on Atiba and Ozan?
Well, let's start off with Atiba. there was like a couple weeks ago, everyone was like, oh, he's leaving, he's not getting a new contract. You know, MTV was reporting that, and this is why I say MTV is totally hit and miss. MTV was reporting this, he was going, many sources, you know, they were all kind of acting like it already happened. And I think I wrote on Twitter something like, this is ridiculous, I don't buy a second of it. He's asking for exuberant amounts of money, blah blah blah. That's totally BS, you know. I mean, people need to realize that over the past 5 years that he has been playing for Beşiktaş, he has consistently been the absolutely lowest paid player that regularly played first team football. Everyone was making more money than him,
and like, you know? As such, one of the most like cost-efficient moves we've ever made, I'd say.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because he's been so vital.
On a guaranteed contract of $1 million for 5 years. You know, if you look at our average in our squad, you know, I mean, Fabri, how much is he making? I think he's one of the lowest paid except for Atiba. I think he's making 1.1. Gökhan Gönül was making 1.7. Vida, 3.5 million or something like that. Wow. Pepe, 4.2. Who else do we have? Left back. Adriano is making 1.8. Ozan was making 1.7 or 1.8.
Ozan is so much younger and plays so much less.
He's being bumped up, by the way. He's going up to 2.5.
Okay,
So who else do we have? Ricardo Quaresma, 2.1. Ryan Babel, 2.1.
Well, so yeah, case in point. So yeah, he's clearly the least paid. So,
let's say our average wage in the team is like, you know, there's a couple of guys that drag it up, but let's say it's 1.9 million. Mm-hmm. At Atiba has been guaranteed. Now we're just talking guaranteed money. We're not talking any bonuses. You know, just guaranteed money. Average wage is like 1.8, 1.9 right now. Mm-hmm. And Atiba for years now has been making 1 million. Now, you know, I mean, don't tell me then that Atiba is asking for stupid money now that he's 35 years old. If he agreed, because he's twice now signed a 1 year extension. So,
and like, we talked about this briefly last week with someone else, but you know, he's reaching a stage of his career too where he's really probably signing his last sort of
big contract,
significant contract of his career.
You know, I mean, I think I don't know if I said it on the podcast. I know I've said it to you guys privately. He has made it clear he wants to finish his career with Beşiktaş. He doesn't want to go to the MLS.
Yeah,
because you know, I mean, one of the guys in our group, he said earlier, like, because Beşiktaş now offered him 750,000. And to me, I mean, that's just insulting. That's insulting to Atiba and everything he's done to the club. And I'm not saying pay him stupid money. I'm not saying pay him 1.5. Like 2 years ago, I would have said that. I would have said, you know, he deserves to earn the average what everyone on average makes in the team. You know, if Gökhan Töre is making 1.6, he should be making 1.6. If Cenk Tosun is making 1.7, he should be making around the same. You know, but that's 2 years ago. Okay, now, you know, Atiba is 35 years old.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's old enough that you don't go that far. But
and you're kind of in a position where, okay, you know, the last two seasons, he's kind of struggled a little bit with injuries here and there. He still played 76 games over 2 years, so you can't say that he's totally dead.
And at a high level,
At a high level, yeah. He has had some injury issues towards the end of the season last year, and he has had injury issues this year. But you need to keep in mind the amount of matches he's played. And, you know, he's 35 years old. He's getting older. You know, so you're kind of in a position as a club where we don't desperately want to keep him, but we do still value him and we want to keep him. Then offer him what you've been paying him, which is under his value for the last 5 years.
Exactly.
Just be f-ing decent.
Yeah, excuse balance it out.
You know, just offer him his 1 million again. And he had a clause the last two seasons where if he played a certain amount of games, he would get another additional, I believe, 300,000 or something. So he was realistically on 1.3 million, not really 1.
Mm-hmm.
So just drop that clause and just offer him 1 million guaranteed and then like 4,000 euros per point as every player in the team gets. Just offer him that. Don't lowball him and give him 750K.
That's ridiculous.
Don't do that. Yeah. That's just disrespectful.
Yeah, you know? I don't like that.
And I'm not saying, you know, somebody told me today you have to put the club before the player. I am putting the club before the player. But you can't do this to a player that's done so much for the club. And you know, he wants to finish his career with Beşiktaş, you know?
Exactly.
Okay. Yes. And then that same guy goes and says, well, he's not going to make 750K anywhere else. Do you know what MLS clubs are paying players, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, Atiba going to the MLS isn't like some random American playing in the MLS who's going to make $400,000 or $500,000. He's going to come in as a big deal. He's going to be on one of those top wages. I don't know exactly how it works in the MLS. They divide the whole league divides a certain budget, and you have like those.
It's a weird, and like there's a
you have like a wage cap, but then you have a certain amount of players that are above that. Like
they're like designated players. Yeah, it's like a weird.
Yeah, designated players. If Atiba would be going to the MLS now, he would be going in as a designated player, not as a random MLS guy.
Yeah,
he'd be earning 3-4 million probably. I mean,
I can't speak on that. I really don't know anything about that MLS, which is funny. I'm the gringo here.
Well, let's talk about Kyle Aaron for a second. Just, you know, he was on a rookie contract. He was making less than $200,000 a year, which was extremely undervalued. The guy that they brought in to replace him, who has over the last past 3 years has had significantly less goals and you know his overall performance has been less than Kyle Larin had in the MLS. He's been brought in at a $1.1 million wage. That's a domestic transfer. So don't tell me that Atiba Hutchinson, record international for Canada, who's a player that has been phenomenal in the Champions League for the
past. And voted Canadian player of the year like for the, 6 years running or something.
I mean, don't tell me he's not going to get a 750K offer from the U.S. And yes, the they get taxed more in the U.S. They lose more than they would in Turkey. But they're not going to offer him 750K. If he'd come in, he'd come in at like 2 million. And he'd still be netting significantly more than he would if he would sign,
resign. And the tax thing is state by state. You know, if you play for like a team in Texas, it's not going to be, you know, like, it's actually quite dependent on his region.
It's not about money. It's about respect. You know, Atiba Hutchinson doesn't want stupid money.
He's going to end a club legend, you know, like especially if he does retire.
Is after the role he played in our past two titles and the way he played in the Champions League. And he made a mistake against Bayern Munich. And he made a mistake against Lyon last season too. But you know, whatever.
Like Bayern Munich is like if not the top club in Europe, honestly. Like, someone's going to make a mistake against them. Jeez.
Over the past 10 years, Bayern Munich is the third best UEFA-ranked club team in the world.
Exactly.
The third best, behind Real Madrid, number one, number two, Barcelona.
Now, I've said on the record, my only regret is the Vida move. You know, we didn't need that. But besides that, like, come on, we weren't going to win that.
Vida move.
The red card. I just wish that hadn't happened.
Yeah, but that was because Atiba's poor.
I know.
Matter. I mean, that shouldn't matter. I mean, give him what he deserves. Just give him what he just give him a fair amount. I'm not saying give him stupid money. Just give him what he is worth. And in my opinion, he's worth more than one. But I mean, if you're going to use him less and less as a starter and you're going to gradually, you know, maybe move someone else into that position and he's going to become more of a squad depth player, fine, you know. But look at Tolga. Tolga is in that role. What's Tolga making? Tolga's making like 1.7 million.
Yeah.
He's sitting on the bench all season.
Exactly.
I mean, and of course, you know, one mistake shouldn't justify making another. But giving Atiba Hutchinson 1 million euros is not a mistake.
Not a mistake,
Giving a 33-year-old Tolga Zenging a 3-year extension for 1.7 million, that's a mistake. Giving Mustafa Pektemek, who's been broken in half 20 million times, and hasn't played a full 90-minute game, and then giving him a 5-year extension worth 1.4, 1.5, 1.6, 1.7 million, and that is a mistake. Not offering Atiba Hutchinson a 1-year extension for 1 million.
No
please.
Way. Come on.
Oh, just angers me. And the people who've been shitting on him this the end of the season because he missed some games due to injury. And oh, he slowed down. Oh, he slows down our game. That's how he has played his entire career. That's how he's always been. He has never been a forward-thinking player. This is not a knock on him. That's just what he
does. I don't like Besiktas turning into these like hot take like NBA fans like we have over here in the States. Oh, yeah. Like we're supposed to be loyal to guys who have like done big things for us, man.
People are suddenly noticing that Atiba doesn't pass the ball forward, and that he does slow down the game when he's on the ball because his decision making isn't quick enough to their liking. That's always been his shortcoming. That's never been his role to do that.
Exactly.
That's
why, and it's actually been something that's been very useful in terms of being more defensive against teams where that's been necessary. So it's not even like...
That's what his strength is. That's his role. That's why he's there. He's the holding midfielder. He's not the creative midfielder. Don't expect him to do that.
Exactly. You know,
that's what Ozan's there for. And we, like we said before in the previous episodes, Ozan didn't show up this season.
Yeah, too inconsistent.
Because of when you have that great lack of creativity because Ozan isn't there, then that you start seeing flaws in other players that you might otherwise not have seen. But those flaws have always been there, and he hasn't suddenly changed. And it's not like Gary Medel is so much better going forward. Yeah, he's better,
and he has actually proven to be of great value as a center defender. But anyway, let me corral this whole thing. It's actually not a bad segue. So then the Ozan thing. Just say definitively, like, make everyone else as confident as you are. What's the story there?
Look, I mean, this has been known for months, but he has re-signed. I don't know if it's 4 or 5 years, but he has re-signed.
Yes.
And it's for $2.5 million a year, as far as I know. And there might or might not be a clause in this contract that would allow him to leave for between 10 and 12 million or something like that to a certain amount of clubs.
Okay.
Pre-named. Like, I believe those, like, 8 or 9 clubs. But that wasn't any different, I believe. He had a sort of clause like that last season at some point as well. But anyway, he's re-signed. He will be at Besiktas next season. Rumors like he's going to Galatasaray are complete and utter BS. That's not happening. That it's, you know, I'll eat a Galatasaray shirt if it happens. You know.
Oh, don't do it. No, yeah. Okay, anyway, good. That's what we want to hear. That's all I wanted you to say.
I'm going to tell you this. 99.9%. I'm never going to tell you 100% until it is actually black on white and it's been announced and disclosed.
This is Turkey.
You know, I've seen so many things in my lifetime that I'm never going to say 100% when it's not made 100% official. But it's 99.9%. That's all I'm going to say. And it's been like that for a long time. The reason that we have been waiting for as long as we have is because...
We're waiting for... Well, first of all, the window hasn't opened yet.
No, but the reason that we haven't extended his contract prior to it lapsing is because Arsenal have a sell-on fee, sell-on percentage of 25%. So if we were to sell him now for, let's say, 10 million euros, 2.5 of that would go to Arsenal. Mm-hmm. And it's just... You know, I think that if we would have sold in 2 or 3 years after, that's different. But I think we've done all the work on him, really, for the past 6 years.
For sure.
So, in a way, I mean, Arsenal are always going to get a certain amount because they were the club that trained him as a youngster. Yeah. They're always going to get something. But 25%, I think it's a little bit over the top. Now, having said that, we got him really, really cheap, 550K or something like that. So,
yeah.
I'm kind of torn. You know, in my opinion, they let us have him super cheap, so they're kind of entitled to something more, perhaps. But 25%, you know, it's
no
just
way.
So.
And I mean, we need the money. We've lost on all these things. Conversely, I guess the argument is like Arsenal is a good team to have a good rapport with, a decent relationship. But
let's say if it was the other way around, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
But it's just, you know, you have to be selfish sometimes, and I think this is, you know, what they have to do for Besiktas.
So moving on, Ozan, like. Congratulations, guys. Apparently this might be a good thing. All right. Quaresma.
Hey, just to be clear, I am not saying that Ozan will be at Besiktas next season. Just saying it's he extended.
Likely. Yeah, you know? And it's like he's extended. We might sell him, you know, to get it, the cash to spend on someone else. Yeah, that's
I'm
all.
I'm just saying he's extended. I'm not saying he's staying.
Okay.
I'm quite confident he might not be actually, but we'll see.
That's for another time. So then the last remaining news bit would be Quaresma basically saying he's not going anywhere, or at least he's not going anywhere for money, right?
Basically, in an interview with Portuguese media, but I have to lie here. I don't know if it was O Jogo or if it was Abola or Record. I'm not sure. Sorry, I didn't check it.
We'll have the asterisk. It's not visual, so we'll have an audio asterisk. But like,
yeah, he gave an interview in which he said a couple of interesting things. First, he said he probably wants to continue playing until he's 40, 41 years old.
Yeah. And given his fitness, I don't see any reason why not.
No, he's definitely, you know, I mean, this is also one of the things that's going to tie into the next point is he has absolutely zero interest in going to China and Qatar or you know, an Arab country. He doesn't want to make that mistake again. He said that I've done it once before, made a choice for money and I've regretted it and I don't want to do it again. And the thing with Quaresma, what you can see with him, and also, you know, one of his flaws maybe as well, like for example, he hates sitting on the bench. He hates that.
Absolutely.
You know, for the national team, I think he has grown to accept it, but he was sitting on the bench a lot for Porto in a second stint, and that's something that really pissed him off.
You can see whenever he's called off the pitch, he still gets angry every time, which you kind of like. He has that desire.
It's both annoying and great at the same time. But this is a guy, so many football players, they are good at playing football, but it's not their be-all, end-all passion. It's not their life. It's not what they're doing the most in the world.
And not so with Quaresma, right? All right, yeah, so let's wrap it up.
So that's it for episode number 4, then, of the Turkish Football Weekly. No, wait, it's not Turkish Football Weekly.
What is going on? You plugging someone else?
I'm sleepy, man. That's it for episode 4 of the Black Eagles podcast, of course, where we cover everything Beşiktaş. For the World Cup preview, we'll see how we all end up puzzling it together. I think this is gonna probably be a standalone episode, and that World Cup, it's probably just gonna be a little bit of a special edition, so to speak.
Right.
So I hope you enjoy it. Keep sending us your feedback. Keep sending us your questions, anything. You can follow us at @Beşiktaş_int. You can follow the podcast at @Eagles_podcast. You can follow our good friend Sinan here at @Sir_Rights_a_lot. You can follow me at @Zarian. And of course, check in on our website, Beşiktaş-International.com, on a daily basis. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. That's basically what we have to say.
Yeah, let's hope that we'll have some exciting transfer news, because by the next episode, the window will be open. So that should be exciting for us. And then also, our next episode will be our 5th episode. So on a technical note, we should be on Spotify for anyone who listens there. So that's good news.
Yeah, great. Okay, then.
Go Beşiktaş.